So yeah, that was the update.
I missed the update?
Huh?
I missed the update?
We were talking about the PSC, different clients.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Eli's old client. I got the transfer. I told you, they didn't want to continue therapy.
Yeah. Oh, they don't. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Way back when.
All right. So, Jeremy, would you like to make a comment now?
Mel, you have won this round. You finally caught up to us, R1 club.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Thank you. I was very impressed this morning when I saw the email.
So, congratulations.
I'll take it.
He's very gracious in defeat.
I'm glad that I got to sneak that one in, because wasn't that our last week
no,
of doing it?
No, next week.
Okay, Jeremy, this last week.
This is it.
Whoever wins takes all.
Winner takes all. And where's Lexi? Don't ask Lexi for answers.
And you can't ask Elisa for answers.
Yeah, they've been killing it.
They have. So how are classes today?
They were good today.
Good?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
How's the clinic treating you guys?
Ha! That's another story. We're in flux.
It's a hot mess, isn't it?
Constant state of fluctuation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess there's hope for a brighter future.
Yes. This might be an optimal outcome.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. Like, hopefully, you know, the brighter future, like the second year, we'll be able to experience that, and it won't be after we're already out of the clinic, but there will be a brighter future for some.
For some. All right. No student left behind.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right. Hi, Lexi. Congrats again.
Thank you.
It's getting old.
Let's see. Did you give Mel answers?
Very well done, Lexi.
I did not give her the answers.
Okay. Just had to check.
Maybe Mel gave her the answers.
Ooh. Ooh. We didn't think about that.
All right, so I think we should start. Brian's not with us yet, right? And Taylor's here, though. Hi, Taylor.
Hi. How's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm okay, here you go.
You were held later?
Yeah.
All right, and so Brian is still making his way.
Yeah. She didn't seem like she was really wrapping up anytime soon, so.
Oh, so you left while the class was still going on.
Yeah, so did Eli. I looked to see if Eli left first, and he did, so I felt like I could leave. But she doesn't look at us anymore.
So that gave you permission.
Yeah.
All right, got it. Hey, Sorrel. All right, so let's, I'm curious how people felt about the self-esteem. It looks like everybody crushed it this week. I think it's one of the easier scales, and I'm glad to see everybody got above 0.9. I mean, that was just incredible. I think that was the first where every single coder scored above 0.9. So that's great. Anybody have any questions or thoughts about self-esteem? We're going to go over the responses, but I'm just curious if anybody has anything they want to share about it. All right. Oh, I forgot. Any ideas about a poster? Hypotheses? Anything? Nothing. Wow, that's a first. First year that nobody has proposed anything for the APA poster. Oh, Mel has a hand up.
But it's not an idea. It's a question.
Okay.
I might have missed this because I haven't been great with emails the last couple of weeks. But for me to like really get ideas going, I have to see everything visually. So I'm wondering, did you happen to send it like through an email, or is that possible? I mean, I don't want to give anyone more work, but I think if I see like all the information and I'm reading it, then maybe like I can get some ideas. You know what I mean?
Do you mean sending you like last year's poster? Is that what you mean?
No. I mean all the information that we have, because I know we talked about it last lab, but I feel like it went in my one ear and went out the other. And if I just like can sit with it and read it and refer, then maybe like an actual idea can come from that.
Okay. Well, I don't have anything written about what's available. I did send everybody, I think five articles that I've written. That,
well, you did send something, right? Okay.
Yeah. So you could look in there about the variables that are available.
Okay.
But so there's the CCQ. We have personality traits that have been coded on the child during these sessions. We've got CAQ findings. So those are personality traits of the therapist. We have this CPQ variables coded, so that every session has been coded for child psychotherapy process. So the relationship or the reciprocal interactions between the child and the therapist, those are also coded in there. Mm-hmm. We also have an outcome measure that we use that was coded during every transcript or every session. So we have an outcome measure. Oh, I think Taylor has something here. Let's see.
Thank you, Taylor.
Yes,
I was just like quickly trying to take notes, but okay, perfect.
Yes, I think Taylor captured everything that we have. So the idea of this poster is to relate what we're doing now, the 10 different dimensions of scores, with one or more of these other measures. So that would be the basis for a hypothesis for the poster.
Okay. I will look through this and the articles you sent, and hopefully something will happen in my noggin.
Okay. Maybe in the middle of halasana, something will come to you. by the way, that's the only yoga pose I can do.
Not hard to believe. I think you could do more.
Well, baby pose and death pose. Those are the other two. So, well, good. So Mel, you want to take a look and see. Anyone else is also open to exploring a hypothesis that we could test with the data that we're going to be coding. Given the large size of this group, you know, we're going to finish the coding relatively quickly, I think, once we start. And so those data will definitely be Jeremy's trying to dissuade you, maybe. Yeah, you two could be twin first authors. Could do that. I think we'll have plenty of time to code the data, and we would have those data then available to test the hypotheses using statistical analyses. So I am hopeful that you know, that will happen. The competition continues. So keep that in mind. And we'll continue to visit this topic. Anybody, I mean, Taylor, you're right at your computer. Can you look up the date when the abstracts are due for APA this year?
Yeah, I'm actually about to forward you guys all the email that I got from APA yesterday, I think.
Oh, you've been on it.
Well, I just had to get it from my trash, so I don't know how on it I am. Okay, Minneapolis. I'm going to forward it to you guys. I wish I could, like, create a link from an email and put it in the chat. Is that possible?
You can copy and paste. You can copy and paste it into chat.
Okay. Let's see. Types of proposals and deadlines due December 17th.
Oh, so it's a little later. Okay. December 17th. Let me put that in my phone.
That is a Friday.
Yeah.
And the good news is that it's after the semester is over, so it won't conflict with finals week.
Friday before Christmas Eve.
Yes. Let's see. Okay, got that in my phone. So we have some time. Today's the 4th. So that gives us, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. It gives us a good 6 weeks. Yeah, 6 weeks in a day. So that's plenty of time to, and Taylor, what's it say about the word limit for the abstract?
I really want to copy and paste it into this, but for some reason it won't let me. It's not on the email, so let me look and I'll get back to you.
Okay. All right. So basically, if whoever's spearheading this poster would just need to write an abstract. It's usually 200 words. Between 200 and 250 words, not a lot, but in that poster you'd have to include a few sentences about the lit review, a sentence or two about the subjects, you know, the participants in the study, what the hypothesis is, and what the clinical implications would be in testing that hypothesis if it's supported. So it's not a lot of writing. The heavier lifting comes in the next summer, May, June. You know, May, I would probably conduct the statistical analyses that are required. And then you'd have June and July to basically write it up, the different pieces of the poster, and, you know, put it in a poster type template and send it off for printing, and that's it. And you hopefully you travel to Minneapolis and present it, but if you can't, someone else in the group might be able to do that, or several people could go to the convention. It doesn't have to be just one person. I think Taylor, you were the lone ranger, right, when you went? No one else went with you?
Yeah.
All right, Mel's going to take a crack at it.
Think about it.
You'll think about thinking about it.
No, I'll actually think about it.
I just came, so I missed a lot. Are we doing the poster just to
it's good timing.
Mel said she was doing the poster.
No, he's I'm gonna think about it, Brian.
Yeah, so Mel has her hypothesis and she's ready to go.
I'm ready to write it all up, guys.
We were just talking about the deadline, which is December 17th, and Taylor is looking up the word length for the abstract. And Brian is gone again. Oh, you made a cameo anyway.
He got overwhelmed with the deadline.
Yeah. Just way too much. Too much pressure. So Jeremy, if Mel can't make it, then you'll present the poster in Minneapolis?
Yes.
That's great. Excellent. Sounds like fun. I've been to Minneapolis once. I really enjoyed it. I actually I've been to Minneapolis twice. I took a Mary Ainsworth Strange Situation coding workshop with Alan Sroff many, many years ago. And then the following year, I went to Minneapolis to take the coding of disorganized attachment in the Strange Situation from Mary Main herself. So I was very thrilled about that. And each one of those trainings was a week long. So I've spent a total of 2 weeks in Minneapolis. Very nice town. It's a lot smaller than New York. I mean, you'll notice that, but it's cool. It has a lot of neat things. It's basically a college town. So a lot of students your age would be hanging around. And I don't know exactly where it's going to be. Is it going to be at the University of Minnesota, Taylor? Do you know?
Not sure. I think I got the word limit.
The abstracts would be the 17th now. I don't know if that was mentioned yet.
That was mentioned, Brian.
Okay.
Do you want to get on the location? I just put in the, I can't speak. The instructions. So into the chat, if everyone can see. So it says like a 250 to 400 word abstract.
Oh, wow. So they give you up to 400 words. All right.
Yeah, it feels like a lot this year.
Brian, does that seem like more than usual to you?
I've never seen it more than like 300. 250 is usually the max.
Yeah.
400 is definitely an increase.
Make sure I posted the right thing.
Okay, let me check. I got an email about it.
Yeah, I just forwarded the email to everyone.
Obviously, if those are accurate, we don't have to write a 400. We don't have to max out, but we have some flexibility there to explain what we're doing to the reviewers. And by the way,
there and presenting the poster, I'm not the best with doing everything before. That's Brian's expertise.
What's that, Taylor?
I said Brian's expertise is knowing this like nitty gritty stuff. Mine is like standing there and presenting.
Oh, okay. All right. Jeremy's already, looking for places to liquor up.
When I went to Chicago to present it, I went on a nice booze cruise. So.
There you go.
Next will be Hammer and Sigil.
All right. Sounds very Bolshevik, communist. So that's great. I think we were well on our way to creating something here. And Mel is going to dazzle us with her hypothesis next week. And Brian, you're welcome also to think of something here.
Well, I was trying to flush out over the week what I was talking about last time and just got distracted by other projects. So, I mean, like, I have no problem trying to flush out the moderational model thing, but I'm also very okay giving the reins to Mel if she is interested.
Yeah, Brian, when you weren't here, I was saying, like, I'm going to look at everything and read some of the articles that Dr. Goodman sent us and see if anything comes up.
Yeah. I say go for it. I mean, I'm not just saying this to get out of it. I'm saying that a little bit to get out of it. But, I think it also is, it does look good. And since I do have two first author posters and I'm trying to work on some papers and another individual project, I think this is the perfect opportunity for you, Mel.
Well, we'll see, but thank you.
The heat is on. All right, so shall we get to the matter at hand? Let me share my screen. There we go. So as I was saying earlier, I think everybody did really well. Everybody scored over 0.9. So this shouldn't take too awfully long. Again, the left column is the gold standard responses to the 10 item homework assignment, and all the other columns represent student scores, coder scores. So for the first one, the gold standard was 5, and we get straight 5s and straight 5s. Great. Next one was a 3. 3, 3, 3, 3, 2, 3. 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3. Wow. All right. Great. Next item is item 3. The gold standard was 6. 6, 6, 6, 7, 7, 6. 7, 6, 6, 6, 6, 7, 7. Hey, you guys are in a roll. Item 4, gold standard response was a 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 1, 2, 2, 2, 2, 3, 2, 2, 2. Great. Excellent. We'll just keep rolling here. Item number 5, the gold standard response was a 3. And we have 3, 3, 3, 3, 4, 3. 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3. This is getting boring. You know, who said that there's going to be so much winning, we're going to be tired of winning? We're tired of winning here. Okay. Gold standard for item 6 is a 5. 5, 5, 6, 5, 5, 5, 5. 6, 5, 6, 6, 7, 6, 5. So the 7 is a little high. Elisa, did you want to talk about your rating for number 6?
Yeah, I think that I just thought, because the idea that, like, he persisted through, like, the setbacks and everything, like, I think it sounded similar to the other 7 that I had rated in my head at the time. I see that it's kind of less than, so maybe a 6 was better choice, but it still felt like more than a 5 to me. But I could see it.
Okay, this is what the manual says about this particular item. This is an example of a 5 because it highlights both mild feelings of inadequacy, that is to say, worried that he won't be able to achieve what he desires and or fantasizes about, and also positive and realistic feelings about himself and his abilities of being in an orchestra. This could be easily coded lower, that is a 3, if fantasies were identified as unrealistic and grandiose regarding self and abilities. However, this was not the case in this example. So I think what made it a 5 and not a 6 or a 7 is the mild feelings of inadequacy.
I think I thought that they were a bit less negative, but now I'm reading them over again, and I definitely see that.
I mean, would you come down to a 6?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Excellent. So I think we can move on. Item 7 was rated a 7 by the gold standard folks. And so we have 7, 7, 6, 7, 5 is a little low. Who's that? Jeremy. 7, 5, Sorrel, that's a little low. 6, 7, 7, 7, 5, Teresa, that's a little low. And 5, Rachel, that's a little low. That's interesting. So the gold standard folks rated this item the highest possible rating, and three of you actually rated it as a 5 rather than a 7. Anybody want to comment on that?
I think I was picking up on the the very beginning when it said he was frustrated because his work wasn't acknowledged, and I was then looking at it as mixed. But now I'm thinking that's really about what other people think and not his self-esteem as much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the exact same reason why I did a 5.
I did it for the same reason too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I felt like it was a little mixed.
Yeah.
Jeremy, yeah. So let me read this. So in this narrative, the male character generally has a positive self-view. As such, ratings start at a 6. Some of the things that are important to him include being acknowledged in relatively minimal ways, feeling challenged, enjoying his work, and utilizing his abilities. SE, self-esteem buzzwords, are knows he's a good worker, capacity to be successful, skilled at what he does. The main themes of this narrative focus on SE and ICS, which we'll talk about later today, with some focus on EIR, emotional investment in relationships. This is given a score of 7, given the extent to which he speaks about his self-worth in the context of a job and his being able to separate out that how other people are treating him is inconsistent in a realistic way with what he deserves and or is capable of. So his own self-esteem is what's measured here, not how others perceive him. I think that's where the difficulty came in for several of you. Does that make sense?
Why does it start at a 6 and not a 5?
Because there is absolutely nothing that he says about himself that would suggest anything negative about his self-esteem.
Okay.
So if there's nothing negative, you start at a 6. So then automatically you're considering either a 6 or a 7. It just makes it easier for you. If there's a little hint of feelings of inadequacy or anything that might be perceived as negative about the self, then you're thinking about 5 or lower. All right. Brian, you want to?
Thank you.
Sure. Brian, you want to add anything?
No, I really like the point you made that the second that they're talking, like there is no negative self-esteem in there, 6 or 7 automatically. And then it's just kind of the finer details from there.
Yep. All right. Item 8. And this is the gold standard response is a 4. And we have 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4. Excellent. We got 100% reliability on number 8 from all 13 of you. That's excellent. And now we have item 9. The gold standard rating is a 3. We've got 3, 2, 2, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 3. Great. Excellent. The last one is number 10, and that the gold standard rating is a 1. We got 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. Again, 100% reliability on item 10. So that's great. I think you can just see how all of you have kind of coalesced around the definition of self-esteem for this scale. So kudos to everybody who gave me their ratings and did a good job on this one. Let me stop my share. Any questions about the self-esteem scale? All right. Let us move on to the last dimension, the last scale of scores. So we've done 9 of them. Everybody has done so well, and this is the last one, and then you will be certified scores coders. Then we have to translate what we've learned to the QSORT system. And I recognize that some of you have no QSORT experience, the non-LIU students. So Brian, I'm going to maybe rely on you to give those students some extra help when we get there in a couple of weeks. Thank you. So let's talk about the last scale. It's ICS, Identity and Coherence of Self. And I think this scale is going to be a little bit more difficult to rate than the self-esteem scale. I think partly because it seems to overlap with several of the other scales we've learned over the past several weeks, well, since September, really. Here we are in November. We've been at this a while now. But I think that this scale overlaps a little bit, and so it might pose some challenges for us. I don't anticipate everybody getting over 0.9 next week. I just think this is a little bit more difficult scale. But I would urge you to read the chapter that I sent you today. Jeremy's accepted the challenge. He's already promising a 1 for next week. And love to see it. But I think that it's going to be challenging to master this. So I want everybody to read the chapter they sent you today and try to master it. And you'll do your 10 items at the end of the chapter and see how we do. But I'm going to review it and try to entertain questions. So how many of you have ever worked with a patient with borderline personality disorder, or maybe know someone in your personal life? I see a few hands. Let me put on the gallery view. All right, some of you. All right. So if you think of someone with borderline personality disorder or someone with dissociative identity disorder, those folks, if they're really really activated at a particular moment, they would occupy a very low score on this scale. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they want in life. They feel confused. They don't know what they feel. This scale is designed to capture that kind of object relations characteristic. The high scores are someone who knows what they want, goes after it, knows exactly how they're feeling, what they're thinking, what they want in life. They have ambitions, goals, they're driven. So you have the two opposite poles and then everything in between. So let's break it down. So the scale captures one's sense of self and how integrated that sense of self is. So you can have, technically, you can have high self-image or high self-esteem and very low identity and coherence of self. You can have low self-esteem and high identity and coherence of self. However, in most cases, there's a lot of overlap there. So generally speaking, if you have high self-esteem, you're going to have a pretty coherent self. It's pretty unusual if you had low on one scale and high on another. So there is overlap there, but I just want you to be able to distinguish between the self-esteem scale, which you just had experience coding, and this new scale, the identity and coherence of self scale. So on the lowest end, a person's sense of self is fragmented, tenuous, fragile, and on the other end, very adaptively integrated. They know who they are. They've accepted all parts of themselves, and it makes sense. There's something very cohesive about it. Questions that someone on the low end might ask themselves are, who am I? Where's my life going? And also you want to decide whether identity and coherence of self is even addressed in the narrative. And if it's not addressed in the narrative, it's like some other scales except for a slight difference. If there's no identity or coherence of self in the narrative, instead of giving it a 4, you would assign a 5 to it. That's the big difference here. So they are giving you a freebie here, but it's not 4, it's 5. So a narrative gets a score of 5 if there's no indication of identity or coherence of self issues being addressed in the narrative. Okay? What else can I tell you about it? Often identity and coherence of self fluctuate as a result of environmental stressors or reactions to things going on in the environment. So if a lot's going on in the environment and the person's reacting to that, just reacting, that would tend to lower the identity and coherence of self score. Other phrases that someone on the low end would might utter is, I've fallen to pieces, I don't know who I am. All right. The self is completely split off or in a dissociative experience. But if the person is experiencing some ambivalence, the person is attempting to make some sort of decision regarding herself or in the context of life pursuits, then you want to consider maybe a 2. And there are 2 different ways of getting a 2. The first is just moving it slightly up from a score of 1. There's fragmentation, as in a 1, but it's to a lesser degree. If there are brief dissociative experiences, that might qualify as a 2. A person may describe herself as not being in her right mind or acting in a way that was outside of her conscious awareness, like flying into a rage, acting in a way that she was unaware of and or not present for. So in my mind, the difference between a 1 and a 2 is very subtle. And I'm sure that I would get it wrong many, many times if I were doing most of the coding. It's the extent to which it's discussed and the severity that will determine whether something's a 2 or a 3. Right? The second way a 2 can be coded is when a person has no investment in the self. So committing suicide due to giving up on life, which implies giving up on a self or losing the self in the context of another person, or the predominant focus becomes about the other person, whether it's a partner or another relationship. So you have to, if you're killing yourself, you have to have a self to kill. If there's no self to kill, can't kill yourself, right? So the idea that someone's trying to kill themselves suggests that there is some sense of a self. There is some minimal identity and coherence of the self. So that would warrant a 2. So if there's suicide, attempted suicide, you're thinking 2. You're not thinking 1. 1 is almost like a fugue state, like just really out of it, totally confused, and I don't know who I am. I don't know anything. All right. This is more like I'm going to kill myself. I mean, even that's a goal, right? The person's very goal directed. They want to kill themselves. So there has to be a self to kill. So you would give that a 2. So that's the other way in which you can get a 2. There are instances when committing suicide would be rated higher depending on the context and way in which it is described. So a suicide is not by default a 2. Most likely it would be, but there are instances in which committing suicide would not be a 2. When the person might do it in order to sacrifice themselves for another, for example, or for some ideal, you know, then you'd want to think about a higher score than a 2. But I think in most cases, it's safe to say that a 2 would be the assigned value for someone who's trying to kill themselves. Let's see. Score 3 highlights the fragility of the self, feelings of emptiness. again, we're in the borderline rage of range of functioning, but these are slightly higher ratings. So if person complains of feeling empty inside, fragile, there's a self present, but it fluctuates widely and unpredictably, probably based on environmental triggers. The trigger doesn't have to be big, but it severely impacts the person's sense of who she is and how she feels about herself. They have a propensity to frequently experience feelings of shame. These individuals have a very hard time holding onto a core sense of self, of the goodness of the self when a painful event occurs. So something bad happens. Oh, I'm a terrible human being. Oh, I'm worthless. That would be like a score of 3. But it's in response to an environmental trigger. All right. What else can I tell you? Sometimes you don't get enough information from the narrative to score the suicidality. But because there's a suicide, you wouldn't think automatically 5. You have to just have to be more flexible in what and how you would rate it and just do the best you can. Yes, a 5 means that there's no identity and coherence of self issues going on in the narrative. But if there's a suicide going on, in the absence of any other information, you want to think anywhere between a 2 and a 4. Okay. As I said before, a rating of 5 means there's no concern or preoccupation with identity and coherence of self issues. A 4 would be a downward extension of a 5. Sometimes identity-related themes are present, but they're not fully developed, or it's unclear whether it's adaptive or maladaptive. So if there's something there, but it's really unclear whether it's a positive feeling of coherence that the person's experiencing or sharing, then you want to label it a 4. You want to assign a 4 to that narrative. Ratings of 6 or 7 represent a person who has a sense of purpose, thinks about her needs, wants, goals, future, driven, ambitious, achievement focused, could be in the context of vocational or intellectual pursuits, or defined or desired role in one's family. And differentiating between a rating of 6 or 7 depends on the extent to which ICS is discussed in the narrative. So what's in the foreground of the narrative? Is it identity and coherence of self issues, or is that in the background? So if there's a lot of coherence, cohesion of the self, but it's kind of a backstory, or it's not really in the foreground, then you would rate it a 6. If it's really front and center in the story, and it's very positive and the coherence is very high, then you would label the narrative a 7. All right. Now, what if someone is somewhat indecisive? Then you would think about a 6. So sometimes ambiguity regarding a goal can present as indecisiveness, and be more flexible, reflective of less stability of self, interests not coming from a stable core, all right? In other cases, there are individuals who are extremely open to their immediate experiences, and everything seems desired as far as future goals. So there's just, I could invest in basically anything. In these cases, ratings would again likely be in the lower range, 3 in some cases, even possibly 2. To help determine the correct scoring, one might ask, are identity-related concerns being expressed in a healthy and mature way or in a more pathological fashion? All right. So ambiguity about it, if you look at the bottom then of the any of those pages, ambiguity about a goal is still considered a goal and may be scored in a higher range. But it wouldn't be a 7. All right. A 7 would be feels like an integrated person with long-term ambitions and goals. Brian, do you want to add anything about this particular scale?
There is so much subtlety to this scale. That is pretty much my main takeaway from it.
Yeah.
Is just read it carefully. That's honestly, like, normally I have more concrete advice, but just because of the subtleties of this scale, and also suicide's not a 1, but like the first time ever, so.
Yeah, I think just to give you some history of this coding system, self-esteem and identity and coherence of self were added later on to the coding system, and because the authors didn't think that the original coding system was capturing enough information about self representations. You know, if you think about object relations as self and object representations, it's heavy on the object representational side, but not so much on the self representational side. So Drew Weston and some of his colleagues decided to add the self-esteem scale and the identity and coherence of self scale to capture some more information about the state of the self-representation of the individual who's telling the story, or in our case, who's participating in psychotherapy. And I just think that I think there's a lot of overlap with the very first scale that we learned, which is the complexity of representations. Mental representations. I think that complexity of representations of people is very similar. The difference is, I think, this is complexity of representations of the self, essentially, not of people in general. But I think there's a lot of overlap with the very first scale that we learned on this journey of ours. Any questions about the identity and coherence of self-scale? Okay, I expect ones from everyone next week. Nothing? Nobody's got nothing. Any questions about it? Anything you're wondering about with this scale? Mindy?
Yeah, sorry. Could you just re-explain just what a score of 4 is?
Okay, a 4 is just 1 down from a 5, which suggests that there is something going on with identity and coherence of self, but it's just slightly negative or unhealthy, I guess. So it's not a real strong sense of what's going on with the person's identity or coherence of self, but there's a slight indication that it's not really that healthy. I'm just looking for the place where they talk about that. With regard to a rating of 4, think of this as a downward extension of 5 as opposed to an upward extension of 3. In other words, sometimes identity-related themes are present, but they're not fully developed, and or it's not clear whether it is adaptive or maladaptive. So you're not really sure. I mean, there's something there, but is this adaptive? Is it maladaptive? Not really sure. That's a 4. In these cases, a rating of 4 would be provided. And that's all the book says about a 4. There's not a lot to go on. I mean, even in the bottom part, the authors define only the odd-numbered anchor points. So the even-numbered anchor points are not labeled, and so there's nothing there to label a 4. So, you know, if you rely on the text, that's what the text says. So hopefully we'll get a better sense of what a 4 is after we do some coding this coming week, and then we'll talk about it next week.
What I find helpful is when you go down and you see like their scores for each score. So like, sorry, page 167, when they give like a 4 and then they write TAT narrative and they underline what in that 4 rating they considered a 4. Does that make sense, Mindy? So like, and then mm-hmm. they have their rationale. So that part helps me sometimes.
Right, so that's a good point. So I've been reviewing the basic description of the scale, but if you go beyond page 165, the authors actually provide narratives that they've already coded with a particular score. And what Taylor's pointing out is that on page 167 of the PDF that I sent around, there's a 4 narrative right there, and then they actually provide the rationale underneath. So his sense of self does not appear unstable, and he's contemplating wanting things to be different, but unable to explain further that what that would look like and or what he wants. For these reasons, it's coded as a 4. So it's pretty undeveloped sense of identity or coherence of self, but there's nothing really damning about it either. So he's trying to contemplate his future, where he wants to go, because it seems like he's surrounded in a dark room by walls. He doesn't want to be like that life anymore. Wherever it was he was at, he didn't like it. So there's a lot of uncertainty there, but you don't get the sense that this guy is falling apart or doesn't know who he is at all. So you're ruling out, you know, the ones and the twos. I think you could make a case for a 3 on this one, but it's just not negative enough. It's not so undefined that you'd assign a 3. So the author's assigned a 4 to that one. Does that help?
Yeah, I think I get it. Thank you.
Okay. As I said, I think this is a challenging scale to end on, to end our training on. But, you know, it's a challenge. We'll see how you guys do. Any other questions? Not seeing any. Unless you guys have anything else you want to talk about, we can end early. Oh, you want to stay on? Okay. What do you want to talk about? All right. So, I will talk to you all next week. And, Brian, I owe you some comments. I'm going to be working on that tonight.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. No, it's on the front burner now. It was on the back burner. Now it's on the front burner. So I will see you all next week, okay?
Bye.
Have a great weekend.
Good night.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Sure.